need to be baptized of thee? And comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was to say later, I do always those things which are pleasing, amen, in his sight. Well pleasing to God, amen. He lived his life to please God. Would you like to live your life to please God? Amen. I appreciate you coming to church through the snow and through the weather. Amen. It takes a little more than the ordinary human being that walks the street today to leave home to go to church. But it's necessary and needful, praise God, to do it. Sister Collins was reading to me Spurgeon's account of his own conversion. How that as a young man, he was walking to church through the snow, through a snowstorm. And it got so bad that he couldn't get any further walking. How would you like to have set out tonight walking to church? Amen. Or tomorrow night, walking to church. Amen. Anywhere in Hamilton, walking to church. Amen. Anywhere in College Corner, walking to church. Amen. He was walking to church. Those days, a lot of people did a lot of walking. Amen. I was amazed at how multiplied millions of people in China were walking. And it was such an spectacle to me. Every city, every town, every village, no matter where you went, every street, every alley, everywhere you looked, it was full of black heads and white shirts, particularly on the weekend. Amen. People walking, walking, walking. The guide, he felt like he should explain to us while all these people were walking, he said, the communists, they boast there's no unemployment under communism. Everybody's employed. His excuse was, these people don't live here. He said, they've come from somewhere else. Walking. That made it even worse than ever as far as I was concerned. Walking. A milling throng all through the streets of Shanghai. If we were driving in a little old bus, held about 15 people, we traveled all over China in first trip, amen, passed through some little old town, it'd be even thicker, it seemed. Amen. People gathered in crowds, walking, walking. Amen. There are places in this world where the only way to get there, folks, is to walk. And that's what was wrong. You see, nobody in China owns a car. Nobody in China owns a truck. They own a lot of bicycles, but no cars, no trucks. And it looked to me like there's more people in China didn't have a bicycle than did. Amen. The guides, when we came into about the second or third city that we came into in China, called it Hangzhou. That's the way they pronounce it, Hangzhou. And we noticed all the bicycles in Hung Chau. It's kind of a resort town with a lot of lakes, and they put us in a fairly new building, motel, hotel-like. One of the better ones we stayed in. Most of them were 50 years old and hadn't been anything done to them. The linens, was using the same linens and making them last. The upholstery covers was faded and worn. Everything was wore out, teetotally wore out in all of China. That's the truth. Amen. A little guide said, in America, you Americans have 2.5 cars per household. In Hung Chau, we have 2.5 bicycles per household. Brother Lorette piped up and said, how do you ride a half a bicycle from my way back in the bus? She said, how do you drive a half a car? She was so quick in her retort to Brother Lorette's that everybody gave her a hand clap, you know. Amen. And it looked like, you know, Brother Lorette's had learned to keep his big mouth shut, but he didn't. Amen. He was bound and determined to win that Chinese guide to God. We didn't want him to know he had any Bibles. First thing I know, he had the guide over in the corner with his Bible out, amen, trying to win him to God. Amen. I thought he was letting the cat out of the bag to know that we had still had some Bibles in Chinese that we kept, you know, just for that purpose in private. Get on the street and we couldn't read it, but we could count the numbers, and we knew John from our experience with the Bible, and we could find John, and then we could count John chapter 3, and then we could count down to the 16th verse. We couldn't read it, but boy, we could underline it, and they could read it. And boy, did they read it. They loved that verse. It was, if you ever go in a foreign country like that, don't hesitate to use John 3:16. But Spurgeon was walking to church in a snowstorm, and he could get no farther, and finally he heard some singing and in a little old church of some kind, and he walked in the door out of the cold and out of that snowstorm and sat down in the back, and there was 12 people there. And he said the fellow that took care of the service wasn't even a pastor. I think that's the way he explained it. He said he wasn't even educated to preach. And he took his text from Look unto me and live, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. And that layman began to preach, look unto me and live. Amen. Look to Calvary. Look to the Garden of Gethsemane. Look to the resurrection. Look unto me and live. Amen. Young Spurgeon was sitting in the back, nearly frozen. Amen. And he pointed his finger right at him. And he said, young man, look unto him and live. He said, when you came in here tonight, said you looked awful bad. That's my way of explaining. Amen. Your countenance looked bad. And you need to look unto the Lord and live. And you know what? Spurgeon got saved that night in that little old meeting in a snowstorm where there wasn't but 12 people in church. Praise God. Spurgeon gave his life to God. That gave me heart. Amen. We tried to keep the doors open right through the blizzard. Amen. And on a Sunday night, we had 14 people here. Amen. But, oh, praise God, what if another Spurgeon would have stumbled in the back door? Hallelujah. And rocked his world for God. Who knows? Maybe he was here. Huh? Maybe he was here. Glory to God. Maybe that was him praying over there last night seeking God. Amen. Who knows what Austin's liable to turn out to be. Amen. It's a story he can tell his children if Jesus tears his children's children about going to church in a blizzard. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Spurgeon got saved and preached to, amen, 3,000 every Sunday. in London, England. Praise God. Oh, 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 glory to God. Well, amen. God is well pleased with such things. You don't realize what it entailed when Jesus came down to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. First off, he had to leave heaven to come down to this earth. Amen. And once having done that, there was no turning back, Mike Barker. Praise God. And his father being older than his mother, his father died during that time that he lived in the carpenter shop in Nazareth. Amen. And one day Jesus changed his clothes. Amen. He who knew how to make a yoke that wouldn't gall the ox. He who knew how, praise God, to make an easy yoke. And would say, come unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Ah, hallelujah. But you know what? He left his mother. He left his brothers. He left his sisters. He left his only means of livelihood. And having done that, and traversed the horns of Hatton, and down through the mountain road that led to the Sea of Galilee, and down to the Sea of Galilee via Tiberias, and on down the Jordan River and the Jordan Valley until he came to the place he could hear the booming voice of John the Baptist, who was that mighty man that some call wild, preached by the river all the while, a man with the volume of a moose, telling God's children to get loose from the devil. John the Baptist, he might have been a general or some nation's king. He spoke with great authority, and his heart, with his words being heart, did sting. Amen. He robed himself in camel's hair, and locusts did exist, and proudly wore the name John the Baptist. I believe God did fit him with a voice, with a volume. Amen. Perhaps even greater than a moose. God has done that in times past. Praise God. They tested one of those preachers, I believe it was Whitefield. Yeah, Whitefield, with his high-pitched voice. Amen. And Ben Franklin said that he could distinctly hear Whitefield's voice a mile away. God has called some men like that once in a while with a built-in loudspeaker to preach the gospel before we had PA system. Praise God. Amen. I believe Jesus heard him in the distance and followed the sound and followed the people. Praise God. And I want you to know, when Jesus left his house in Nazareth and left his means of livelihood and struck out without purse nor scrip, there was no turning back. Amen. One time he told them, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He could have gone back home any time he wanted to, but he couldn't do it and please God. If he did that, praise God, amen, God wouldn't have said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He left it all, and he left it again, and he left it again, and again, to preach the gospel. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you like to please God? Amen. Would you like to please God? I'm going to tell you how most of you can please God. Amen. And live at your own house. And drive your own car. Amen. And praise God. Enjoy the blessings of the, quote, good life, end quote. Amen. To a certain degree. Hallelujah. Let's read in Philippians chapter 4. Amen. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, at last, your care of me flourished again, wherein you were all so careful, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, you lacked done something for me, but you didn't have a chance. You was too far away to help me. I was out of your reach. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Why was Paul in the shape he was in and needing somebody to help him and to give him some help to preach the gospel? Because he had left Tarsus. He left his home, his fortune, his riches. Amen. Some people thought he had a very wealthy family. Amen. I don't know. Probably did. They could afford to send him to school, college in Jerusalem, and he graduated right from the feet of Gamaliel. He could have stayed in Tarsus, but he didn't. He could have kept his name over his business place, Saul of Tarsus, tent maker. Amen. But he left it all. He left it all. Amen. Some people say, why don't preachers work? I'll tell you, I've been there. And I've left all many times to follow Christ. And if you go into a town and spend 2 years in each church, and Paul most of the time didn't spend that long, you don't build up much of a work reputation. Amen. I tried to get work and they were scared of me. Amen. I told them I could do it. They didn't think I could. Amen. And so they wouldn't hire me. Amen. And so I had to keep studying, had to keep praying, had to keep seeking God, because of just at those little old churches, just a short time. Amen. And you don't build much of a work reputation up where there's no jobs in a country town. Everybody moves off the city to get a job. Jobs are very limited and pays low. Amen. And I couldn't get a job in Dale, Illinois. I couldn't get a job Alto Pass, Illinois. Finally, when I sank just as low as I could sink, Junior Mayberry came by, a backslid preacher. Or a backslid, he was the son of Charles Mayberry, and his dad wasn't backslid, but he was backslid. Amen. Later on, Charles Mayberry Jr. would get back to the Lord and get saved. Amen. And he hired me for $1.50 an hour. Amen. That's more than I asked, because I never had made more than $1 an hour working up to that time. Amen. I helped him to build houses from scratch. I mean from start to finish. Amen. Helped him build one Baptist church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Did all the drywall, just about all the drywall, after we got the church far enough along on that building, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Amen. And did most all the painting. When we got the house all framed and roughed in and the drywall hung, him and Harold, his brother, would go off and start another building. They'd leave me to finish all the drywall, do all the trim, and everything right down to the finish. I would get so tired of working on one house before I got done. But I was so tickled to have a little money. $1.50 an hour, I'd work way into the night sometimes if I wasn't pressed otherwise. Amen. I remember I went home, told my wife, after I'd worked a little extra one day as we was pastoring out Alto Pass, I said, I made $10 today. That meant we could walk through the grocery store and buy some things that we needed and wanted. Amen. She'd always send me to buy groceries. I bought the groceries for years because we was preacher living by faith. We left all. When she married me, she left all to follow Christ. Amen. And she knew I would cancel out her list, everything that we couldn't afford. Everything we could do without. Amen. And I'd buy what we absolutely had to have, what I could afford, and bring it back. That's why I did the grocery shopping for years. Amen. That was because we was living by faith, and it makes a difference when you're counting on God to speak to people and those people to listen, because a lot of people don't listen. When God speaks to them about their money, they turn a deaf ear to God. Amen. And so the preacher many times had to do without. Praise God. Let me go on read. Now even in Thessalonica, you sent once again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and am full. Here's why. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Listen to what he says. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I said I'd tell you tonight how you could do something well-pleasing to God. Amen. And stay home in your own house and sleep in your own bed. Amen. And most of you have already learned that. And that is help God's man to preach the gospel. Amen. And what do you say? It's well pleasing to God. You want greater gifts? First, you need to learn to use the gifts you've got. Jesus said, amen, freely you have received, freely give. Talking about their ministry gifts. Freely you receive, freely give. Now, folks, we're not going to be unstingy with the gifts of the Spirit if we're stingy with what we already have at our disposal. We're not going to freely give, amen, if we're stingy with what God's blessed us with in this earth. Amen. We're not going to give something we haven't got if we won't give what we have got. Amen. And did you notice? He said, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Folks, there are some that have left all to preach the gospel. And there's some more that's leaving all. And they need encouragement to leave all and follow Christ. Let me read you one more, and then we'll pray. Praise God. Amen. Let's read the 13th chapter of Hebrews, amen, and verse 16, just to save time, I'll not read very much. But do good. How many know what that means? Now that doesn't mean, as John said, God bless you, brother, be thou clothed and fed, because he said if you don't give him the things he has need of, how dwells the love of God in you? If you got these world's goods, you can't just say, God bless you, brother. Like a preacher shook hands, Arvis Swofford, and said, God's going to help you. Amen. Arvis said, I hadn't know he could have helped me right then, and I need some help right then. I didn't need his blessing. God's going to help you. I need him to help me right then. Amen. Praise God. Arvis and that brother both have gone somewhere. Amen. If both of them went to heaven, they'll meet up there and talk it all over, and we're all going. Do good and communicate. Now that word communicate don't mean get on the telephone and talk an hour. Amen. That don't mean get on the street corner and talk an hour. That word communicate means to share. It means to give. Hallelujah. Do good and communicate and forget not. Amen. I know you ain't going to forget to ring that talking stick and talk on the telephone for an hour. Amen. Oh, you ain't going to forget that. But there's some things we're prone to forget, and that is that somebody might have need. That some man of God. Amen. Do good and communicate. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I asked you in the beginning, would you like to be well-pleasing in the sight of God? Would you like for God to speak to men and angels and say, this is my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I am well-pleased? This is a good place to start. Amen. You can start with your paycheck on Friday. That's something you got. Amen. If you'll be faithful with that, God will give you more. Amen. You be faithful to give of that, God will give you more. You be faithful to share that and communicate that. And don't forget. Amen. God will be well pleased. Praise God. Oh, there's a lot of people would like to stay home, and most will. Amen. Because God only calls a remnant, a few, to leave all and to follow Him, to preach the gospel. Praise God. But when you communicate to the ones that do, you got to share in their ministry. Amen. That woman that poured that alabaster ointment, an alabaster box full of ointment on Jesus, had a share in the ministry of the Son of God. He was well pleased with that. Did you know it? Judas wasn't, but he was. Judas grumbled and griped, but Jesus, amen, she poured a whole year's wages on his head and his body and his feet, amen, and dried his feet with her hair, filled a room with perfume. Jesus said, she's anointed my body for the burial. Let's pray tonight. Praise God. Command thine, the master called, command thine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. Till the hungry caught night, command thine. The disciples came to land, the soap-bearing class command. For the master called to them, come command thine. Now they found their heart's desire, bring fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Command nine, the master call, command nine. You may feast at Jesus' name all the time. He fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call, command nine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Won't that be a glorious sight? All the saints are spotless white, and with Jesus they will be eternally. Command nine, command nine. Give a peace at Jesus' table all the time. He'll turn the water into wine. To the hungry call them, come, come and die. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of the heaven will assemble me. Won't that be a glorious sight? All the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will be eternally. Come and die. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He'll fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. He's the hungry cauldron. Come and dine. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon glory share. The souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout, thank God, praise Him. Everybody will be happy over there. We'll meet the one who saved us, who kept us by his grace, who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise him forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy.
father, sisters, brothers will be singing around that door in that land where no one never knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout, thank God, praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Give the Lord the praise.